My name is Dave. I'm a recovering alcoholic.
Dave!
I want to thank you guys for inviting me. It's my first time here, and I've been on similar kind of things in the past, but this is really enjoyable. I had a good time last night. I enjoyed it. Food is really nice. Thank everybody who had any hand in setting this up. I appreciate the opportunity. And I hope you have some fun here. You know, spiritual growth is not supposed to be like, you know, drudgery. You know, if I didn't see any fun in AA, I never would have stayed. And my sponsor told me that more than once. He goes, if you're not having fun, you're doing something wrong. And, you know, we're like shipwreck survivors who, he used to joke with me and tell me, you've already had the worst day of your life and you survived it. So, you know, be happy. And know the good times are ahead. I talked to Steve and John earlier. They asked me to share on service, brotherly love, and working with others. And I said, cool, that's what I do. And I like that they had brotherly love in the middle, because without brotherly love, there's no service and there's no working with others. Especially newcomers, they know if you're sincere or not. They know if you're just going through the motions. I'm a frontline kind of guy. I know there's people who I've done a little bit of work in general service. I've done a little bit of work in intergroup. That's wonderful for some people. I'm a home group guy. That's where I get the biggest bang for the buck, you know, and that's how my sponsor taught me to be. You know, show up, suit up, show up, and be consistent, and help whenever you can. So anyways, I spent a couple hours this week, you know, preparing myself for this, because I'm old, and, you know, I don't want to, like, just go off on this weird tangent, you know, because when I talk about alcoholism, and I'm not saying this to be controversial or offend anybody, I consider it to be a profound mental illness. Okay, it says on page 23 of the big book that we believe our problem centers in our mind, and it says on page 33 of the 12 and 12, it uses the exact term mentally ill. And it's profound in the fact that it'll kill you if you don't treat it. You know, and prior to the formation of Alcoholics Anonymous, there was no effective treatment. There's still no effective medical treatment. They can get you sober, but, you know, after 28 days, you're on your own. And AA is the only thing that ever worked for me. So, my sponsor told me that if you have any success in long-term sobriety, you are expected to carry this message with nothing added in and nothing left out to the next generation of alcoholics. That you're supposed to give part of your life for the rest of your life to give back. And that you might not like this deal, but this is the best deal you're going to get. And to understand that this is a limited time offer. Because if you decide to go back out, there's no guarantee you're going to make it back. And my home group's the Saturday Morning Awareness Group, the 101 Club. And for those who have been there, the 101 Club is still, it's the front lines. You know, I came in, I've been sober since August 11th, 1989. And last August, I celebrated 34 years. And I take no credit for that at all. Okay, you guys do good work. Okay, I cannot stay sober without you guys. I was never able to, and I'm still not able to. I know if I cut myself off from you guys, I'm dead. It won't take long. You know, my mental illness just flares up in a month or two. I'm just out there. And I need you guys as much as you need me. But anyway, so I read through this, I prepared some stuff, and then I read through this morning and realized half of it was crap. So I'm going to skip that half. But I did want to, like, make a couple of points that were given to me over the years, because I'm serious about this. I don't take life seriously at all. The old timers just say that, you know. We take AA seriously, but I don't take life seriously, you know. I mean, life is just crazy, and I never had control over it to begin with. You know, so it's not like I have control over it now. I just kind of roll with it. And my sponsor joked with me. He said, you know, he goes, we give our lives to God because nobody else wants it. And that was my take on AA was, I never showed any appreciation or reverence for my life. I spent most of my life trying to kill myself and just trying to kill the pain. And so it wasn't a big deal till I gave it to God, because I never wanted it in the first place. And but they got me involved in service really early and said that that's the price of sobriety. You know, anytime you decide not to pay, understand what you're doing. And I don't have a problem with that. I enjoy it. I think in a home group, like, the best gig in AA is making coffee. And Jerry knows. And, you know, when they come in here, like, everybody complains about it. Nobody knows who did it. But if nobody does it, people are really pissed off. You know? And so, like, it's just, I've seen 20-year-old vets, you know, lose their mind. Oh, what do you mean nobody made no coffee? And, but that's the best gig, you know, because it's just between you and God. You know, I'm doing this for people. I may know some of them, I may not. And but this is between me and God. And that's the best kind of service. I'm going to change glasses. Excuse me. I'm supposed to be wearing bifocals, but I don't. And but I did want to kind of narrow this down just briefly to talk about this from a 12-step perspective, okay? Because a lot of you guys, and I know some of you, we perform all kinds of service all throughout our lives. You know, we do it in our families, okay? We do it in our churches. We do it in our jobs. We do it in our communities, okay? Anybody can do that, okay? It's not special. It's called being a decent human being, okay? And there are billions of people out in the world who do this without a thought. They're not alcoholics. They just go out there. They're good people, and they do good things for others, okay? What we are uniquely equipped to do is work with other alcoholics. They can't do that, okay? But we have been given a gift that they didn't get, that we can get trust and understanding from a newcomer. And not just the newcomers. I've learned as I get older, don't forget about the old timers too. They go through stuff. Okay. I'm an active sponsor in AA. I have a sponsor. I always had a sponsor. My sponsor said, if you don't have a sponsor, you're sponsoring yourself, and that's not going to end well. But I sponsor men and women in AA. I just, whoever God puts in front of me, fine. I don't get to pick and choose. If they ask me, and if I will do whatever I can for them. And I don't get to turn down. I don't want to have that conversation with God and say, well, I didn't sponsor because she's a woman, you know. And it never says that anywhere in the first 164 pages or in 12 and 12. I know there's some pamphlets that say, you know, we recommend the men stay with the men, but that was not how I was raised. I had a female sponsor for 14 years. Saved my life more than once. And I owe her a debt of gratitude that I can never repay. So I just, you ask, I'm there. I will do whatever I can do. I retired a few months ago. I have nothing but time on my hands. And just really quickly, I call my sponsees, okay? I don't know about you, but my sponsees are really mentally ill. Okay, and so like they can't call me. Okay, and I get that. I don't know if you've ever been there, been so lost and so depressed and so afraid in AA that you couldn't pick up the phone. I have. I know what that's like. My sponsor used to call me up. I would go, you know, silent for like 2 weeks, you know, and she would call me up and just leave the rudest answering machine messages, you know, just cursing, you know, and, you know, because she was trying to save my life. And, I know what it's like to not be able to make that call. So I just assume that they can't make the call and I just call them. And it works out really good. I used to have when I was working, I had a really busy schedule. So I only had little windows of opportunity. So I would be in my car on the way home and I would call Ted. And the next day I would call John. And the next day I would call one of my other sponsors. And I would see them at meetings. But I'm still really active in sponsorship, and my sponsees have sponsees. And it grows over time. You know, it's an incredible thing to be part of. Also, because we are recovering alcoholics and addicts, service work is necessary for our own sobriety. And they say that in the big book 3 times, faith without works is dead. I came to AA to escape the consequences of my last drunk, but I stay in AA to escape the consequences of my next drunk. Okay, I am not cured of this. Okay, and there's no guarantees. And I've seen people with more time than me. I've seen better people than me give this gift back. Okay, and I don't want to be one of those guys. I don't want to be, you know, that guy had 4 years and went out. I don't want to be that guy. So I stay. You know, I know the biggest mistake I can make is cut myself off from you guys. If I do that, I'm a goner. Even in the rooms of AA, people follow this program to different degrees. The finest people I have ever met in my life are the ones who embrace this program fully and share the gift. These people are our role models. I don't know. The reason we're all here today is because somebody took time out of their lives to help us. Okay? And the way I like to think about this is if you're going to channel in, you know, in a meeting like this, I look at, I do an inventory, see where I'm at now. Okay? And then I look for areas of improvement. What can I do better? And then I sit in prayer and meditation and ask God, you know, this is what I like to do. Please guide me and direct me. And then I make a plan, and then I talk about it with my sponsor so I have some accountability. You know, I'm going to start going to more meetings, or I'm going to start, you know, calling my sponsor more often, or just little goals like that. And then my sponsor provides some accountability. You know, we'll check back a week later. How you doing with that? You know, a month later, how you doing with that? You know, and because I let myself off the hook a lot. And so, but think about your first AA meeting. Okay, think about it. How old were you? Where was it? Why were you there? Who was there when you walked in the door? Wait, somebody was there. They set up the meeting. You know, I walked into the rooms. My first meeting was the one-on-one call. Okay, and I remember vividly. I was 30 years old, and I'm dying of alcoholism. Okay, and I know this, but I don't care. Okay, it's just taking longer than I thought. You know, I stopped trying to stop and just riding it out until the bitter end. And had been going through the court system, the jails and institutions for a few years, and it was starting to get to me. So I had been court ordered to go to AA a couple times, but I never went. You know, you can just sign your own sheets and hand them in. And like somebody showed me how to do that at a bar. It kept me out there just taking a beat, man. You know, I thought I was being slick, and it kept me out there. So this time I figured, you know, I'm going to give it one try, and then when this fails, like everything else that failed, I'm going to go out and finish the job. You know, and I remember I came in, there's like three doors at the 101 club, and I came in like the back door. And I froze in the doorway, you know. And like everything in my head was screaming, don't go in there, they'll help you, you know. And somebody pushed me from behind because I was blocking the doorway, you know. And I don't know who that was. I never saw him. But I came to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I met Ray Allen, was making coffee. And he, you know, talked to me. He said, hey, kid, you new here? And I said, yeah. And he says, well, come on in and make yourself at home. He said, you're safe here. We know what you've been through. And stick with us, or from now on, you're off the hook. And I remember, I had been on the hook for so long. So I went and sat back in the back under the clock, you know, because, like, there was nobody else there, and I didn't know what else to do. And so anyway, so I'm sitting back there, and sooner or later, this other guy comes in, and he goes, hey, kid, you new here? And I says, yeah. And he says, we recommend new people sit up front so they can pay attention to the speaker, blah, blah, blah. And so, fine, I get up and I sit up front, okay? People start coming into the meeting as it's getting closer to meeting time, and everybody's sitting back, okay? And I'm sitting up front. And there was this one table of guys, there was like four guys who were having a good time. They were joking and laughing with each other and telling stories and stuff. And I'm sitting in front of by myself, and about 5 minutes before the meeting starts, one of them walks up and he says, hey, kid, you're new here? And I said, fuck you. And he said, he goes, well, what are you doing sitting up here all by yourself? And I said, that guy over there said, the newcomer's just been sitting up here. And he goes, that guy? And I says, yeah. He goes, screw that guy. He goes, from now on, you sit next to me. I said, you've been alone long enough. And that was my first sponsor. I didn't know that at the time. But, the miracle is not that we go to our first AA meeting. The miracle is that something happened there that we went to a second one. The miracle is that something happens, and that still happens to me today, that something happens that I want to go to one more. You know? And that's service. Okay, it's a human connection. Okay, the people who don't like other people, who are, you know, some of my sponsees are pretty antisocial, and they have no people skills. They're deathly afraid, and they're dying of alcoholism. And everybody in the world has turned their backs on them, except for us. And they used to say, when everybody else closes their doors, we open ours. You know, and as we stay sober, we begin to understand the words responsibility and obligation. You know, I took my first few years, and this is a weird concept, but hopefully I can communicate it. I was a taker. I didn't have anything to give. You guys just saved my life, and you just said, come here, take what you need, leave the rest, you know, and I didn't know about alcoholism. I didn't know about recovery, and you guys just spoon-fed me the entire program and stuff. And then, but at some point, it's time to get back. You know, and I had this idea in my mind that, you know, that you can't serve from an empty cup. Okay, and so I would give out some, but I always kept some for myself. You know, and it wasn't about giving and taking, it was about giving and receiving. And my sponsor told me, he said, God won't fill your cup and be empty. And so, like, you know, you sit there and say, well, you know, I'm doing all this, that's enough. And God just says, could you make one more phone call? Could you shake one more hand? Could you get one more smile? And that's it. That's all he's ever asked of me. He never asked anything, you know, monumental. There's other people who are supposed to run the world and save things. And he goes, can you just fix this little corner, you know? My sponsor's telling me, he goes, that God, he asked God, you know, what's my will for you? Or what's, you know, what do you want me to do today? And he goes, at the 5:30 meeting tonight, there's going to be this guy there, okay? And don't worry what he looks like. You'll know him when you see him, okay? But he's lost, and he can't listen to me anymore. He doesn't even think I exist, but he will listen to you. So I want you to find that guy and just tell him, stick with us, you'll be okay, and make him feel comfortable for an hour, okay? And if he asks for your number, give it to him. But be nice to him, because he's been beat up pretty hard. And if you do that, I'll take care of everything else. Don't have to worry about your future. You know, I was at the end of my drinking, I was homeless and sleeping behind dumpsters and stuff. Since I've been in AA, I have never not had a roof over my head. I have never not had a meal. If God has taken care of me way better than I ever took care of me. You know? And it's just that simple. You don't have to worry about it. Most of those kind, patient old-timers who babysat us and shepherded me through early recovery are gone. And in the 101 Club, we have a wall. And those are the people who went before us. They're our ancestors. You know, they kept the program alive and dedicated their time and money to provide us a safe environment to experience the miracle of recovery. They did their job. Okay, now it's our turn. Whether you like it or not, we're the leaders now. I didn't ask for this. It wasn't something that, you know, my sponsor told me. Hopefully God will never ask you to be a leader, but you need to be ready in case he calls your number. You know, I talked about Ray Allen. Ray Allen was like a spiritual leader. He was one of those guys, he didn't even have to make eye contact. If I saw him in the room, I knew I was going to be okay. He was close to God. It was like he had the unlisted number, you know. And he was humble about it. He didn't rub your nose in it. He talked about God like, you know, that this was something I could have too, you know. And my sponsor would say, you know, Ray's getting kind of old. You have to ask yourself who's going to be the Ray Allen of your generation. Who's going to be Ray when Ray's not here anymore? You know, and it may not be you, but you need to be ready in case God calls your number. And I've had those people, Tommy Dayton and Ray Allen and Eddie G and those guys, and they didn't tell us that to keep to ourselves. We're supposed to give that to the next generation, carry that message. They left this program to us to keep alive and expected us to dedicate our time and money to help the next generation until it's time for them to take over from us. You know, I want A to be here after I leave. I have 4 grandkids, and at least one of them's going to end up here. I think it's the boy. I got 3 girls and a boy. The boy's going to end up here. And I want him to have at least the same opportunity. Hopefully, I can leave it a little bit better than when I found it. I think every generation, I'm encouraged. I think every generation, we get a little bit better at this. I think every generation, we embrace the program a little more, that we push the boundaries of prayer and meditation, that we integrate this into our lives a little bit better. This isn't about putting the plug in the jug and don't think to go to meetings. This is a lifestyle. And if you do this, miracles will happen in your life. Take some time this weekend to look at what God has given you and what you're giving back. Whether it's in your home group, your sponsor, or your service structure, it's how you're doing the best you can. And that's all God ever asked me. You know, I want to be able at the end of the day. And just this last thing, this is the last thing I'm going to say. There was this old timer who used to tell a story about a man. And the guy dies and goes to heaven. And he goes to heaven, and St. Peter greets him at the heaven and says, "Welcome to heaven. You've been a faithful servant of God, and I just want to tell you thank you for everything. And this is your first day here, so let me show you around." And he shows him around. And he says, "Oh, by the way, because you're new here, at dinner tonight, you get to sit at the table with the big guy. And afterwards, we have a cigar, and you can ask him any question you want, and he'll answer." And I said, the guy thinks about that. Wow, as I've had all these questions, you know, throughout my life that I wanted to know the answers to. So he spends all afternoon thinking about it, and he goes to dinner, and afterwards, they're having cigars. And God says, welcome. Glad to have you here. Did you have any questions?" And the guy says, "Yeah, I just have one." He goes, when I was on the earth, there was plenty of people suffering and lost and afraid. And I just wanted to know, how come you never sent anybody to help?" And God just looked at him. He goes, "I did. I sent you. How'd you do?" You know, and we can have that effect on other people. My sponsor, he wasn't a famous guy. He wasn't anybody in AA. I can't trace my lineage back to Bill Wilson. You know, but he took time out of his life to save mine. You know, and we've been given that gift. So use it as best as you can. Thank you.